philosophy of power. It's a doctrine of domination.
This is radio worth supporting, and you make a difference. Visit kpft.org to view our complete program schedule. Give feedback on our shows or pledge online. This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Calming Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch tells us it is Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? We are the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm your host tonight, Greg Audell. I am privileged to serve on the board of Writers in the Schools, where we help teach kids how to tell their own stories. Along with Dr. Hank Rubicek, Dr. Warren Holloman, and soon Dr. Mary Edgerton, who will be joining our team of hosts, and our interns Nicole Grady and Alondra Mejia at the control board, we are proud to bring Houston's best storytellers to you each and every Thursday at 10 p.m. Now, as always, when you and I get together, I urge you to have a special treat while you listen, because it is story time, my friends. And our tradition of milk and cookies is in part thanks to my guest tonight. I bought milk and cookies in for our New Year's Eve show because it seemed like the right thing to do. And I was informed by my always reliable engineer that if I ever wanted my voice to reach the airwaves, then I was to keep bringing milk and cookies, and I have done so. I make sure to keep us well supplied. My guest tonight is not only a guest, in the most general sense, because Jacob Reiner has played a vital part of the So What's Your Story family for some time. And because of Jake's board operations, I learned the intricacies of studio production and that the marriage of creativity and technology can construct the kind of show which we are all so very proud to bring you each and every week. Jake bought so much to this program, but above all, he proved week in and week out that there is nothing more powerful than human expression. He promoted this notion in every class he took at U of H, University of Houston downtown, where he recently graduated with a BA in Communication Studies with an emphasis in public rhetoric. That's why I have never won an argument against him, I would say, but I'm still going to try. And Jake will always be a member of the So What's Your Family, I'm sorry, the What's Your So What's Your Story family. But he's an essential part of the team for a long, long time. He served proudly and courageously in the United States Army, forever committed to peace and safety for all of us. He ended his Army career as a specialist after being deployed to Afghanistan. Tonight, I asked Jake to take us on his journey from Army soldier to the present, and explain how it is that veterans can confide in each other. And he's going to share a story with us about the very real brotherhood that comes from being in the military. I absolutely never anticipated saying this, but Jacob Reiner, welcome to So What's Your Story?
Well, I never expected to answer that question. How are you doing tonight, Greg?
I'm great. I've really, really been looking forward to this. See, I don't know if you know how a radio station control room is set up, but my guest and I are alone in one studio, and we're looking at the controller through somewhat hazy, dirty glass. And so I'm accustomed to kind of making out Jake's strange hand signals to me through glass instead of just looking at him directly. So this is kind of a new attempt for both of us.
It's, honestly, it's very awkward.
Yeah, because he's been running the program for a long time.
And that's weird. I don't have control, which, you know, I'm kind of turned the other way, so I can't see Nicole, so I'm not trying to give her hints between the glass.
I got to tell you, we're kind of enjoying watching him twist. You know, we kid with each other a lot because we really do have a great time working together. But there's obviously nothing to joke about when it comes to making the decision to join the United States military. Jake, would you share your first story with us?
Well, my journey to where I am now started in July of 2009. I was getting frustrated with how my life was turning out at the age of 25. I had some rough romantic relationships, but none as bad as the one I just ended. I was jumping from job to job, went to culinary school, and tried to cater events for 10 or less. But then the recession hit. Oh God, nobody wanted to pay me for cooking anymore. And one day I went to talk and chill with my friend and upstairs neighbor, Eric. Now, Eric was and still is a true friend. He's a veteran that served in Desert Storm and is extremely blunt. To the point where he is one of those type of people that can rub you the wrong way if you don't truly know him. Well, I used this time to vent, and I think he was having a bad day because harsh words were said. The very next day, I went to see an Army recruiter just to ask questions. 5 hours later, I signed my life to Uncle Sam.
Wow.
My parents were out of town while I made this decision. So the first thing that happened when they got home was a greeting from me and news that their baby boy was leaving in 6 months. Now, apparently my recruiter had a sense of humor, because he decided to send a Houston boy, who really only knew Chicago Thanksgiving cold, to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, on January the 4th. Doing push-ups in 3 feet of snow and drill sergeant screaming that you're doing it wrong can make you acclimate to the temperature pretty quick. Now, basic training was rough, but luckily I had help from friends that were veterans, like Eric and another friend, Philip. They both gave me pointers on what to expect. Basically, it's a big mind game. After basic and AIT, I went to airborne school, but ended up blowing out my MCL. But I wouldn't know that till 2 years down the line. So instead of going to 82nd Airborne, I was stationed with 360th Transportation out of Fort Carson, Colorado. That was June. Within 3 months of joining the company, we were being deployed to Afghanistan. Now, when you learn that you're leaving the comfort of the United States and entering a region that is not only hostile, but you're also entering with a target on your back, starts changing your mind frame. As we got closer to deploying, I started realizing what was important in my life. And it came down to three things. First, family, whether it be blood or my company. Friends and faith. Sadly, I did not make it through my whole deployment. I was medevaced out 4 months into it. When I got back from Afghanistan, it was extremely rough. I felt guilty about not being with my company. I felt like I left them behind. And what happened was I started falling back into a self-destructing Jake. And my rear deployment chain of command, which we had, was not interested in getting me the help that I should have been getting. All because one doctor had his own opinions of me. Well, I ended up having to be hospitalized for a short time. But it wasn't until later that year, I would be helped and even saved, if you will. In August of 2011, I met Shailene Marie Saudi, who in a very short time would become my wife. And I have to make a shout out, next Wednesday will be our 5th year wedding anniversary. At that moment in time, self-destructive Jake had been out of action, and he hasn't come back since. Now, early in 2012, I found out after 2 years of complaining about it that I had destroyed my MCL. So I had surgery, I have an artificial MCL. And a few months after the surgery and rehab, I found out that 32nd Transportation out of Fort Carson was deployed to Afghanistan. I talked to my first sergeant, and he got me moved to 32nd. I wanted to deploy again because I felt I needed to finish one. I felt extremely guilty for not finishing a deployment. Well, 2 weeks before I was supposed to deploy, I got called into a mental health doctor's office. He asked me what my plans were, so I told him. I said, I'm planning to go to 32nd Transportation, deploy, go to the sergeant board, because it's easier when you're downrange, come back. When I came back, my contract would be up, so I'd either get out, go to school, and come back an officer, or go to what they call green to gold, which means I'm on active duty, but all I do is go to University of Texas. Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing the doctor said was, oh, not only are you not deploying, you're out of a job within 9 months. I'm med boarding you. I was crushed. This was how a doctor was going to tell me that all my future plans and dreams were gone? Now, I was going to fight it, but one day I looked at Shay and realized that if the Army wants me out, they'll do it any way they can. So for my family and my family's future, I took the benefits. Now, one of those benefits was the GI Bill. I decided to go to UHD and major in communication. At first, while attending the school, I was very bitter towards the military, specifically the Army. I felt like my dreams were stolen. But luckily, I ended up working with the Student Veterans Organization at UHD, and after a little while, I ended up becoming the president. We had some great events, but my favorite was the first ever haunted house at the university. Now, the coolest and most influential professor I had was Dr. Hank. Now, I know a lot of you will think, and I know there's a lot of you out there because I'm on tonight. But I know all y'all are thinking are,
of course.
Well, of course he would say that. No, I wouldn't. I was originally only going and supposed to do one semester with Hank, but I liked him. I liked his teaching style because it was perfect for my learning style. And because of him, I've been able to meet some great storytellers, not just in Houston, but from everywhere. Dr. Hank Rubicek has been an extremely fantastic mentor. I couldn't ask for a better one in our field. But this May, I achieved a goal I never thought I would achieve, and that was getting a college degree. But Greg, I would not be here talking with you if it wasn't for the Army. But the thing is I would never have realized that if I hadn't walked across that stage to get the degree.
Wow. Would you say walking across the stage was a partial completion of your Army mission?
I would put it at equal to me passing basic training and becoming a soldier. It to me was a new start because in a way I was a troubled child. So by me passing basic graduation, it was like a new start for me. So then all of a sudden I finished my degree and it's an all new start.
Let me ask you, I'm just kind of curious, what is it like when you arrive at basic training? I mean, are you somewhat convinced that there's no way you can do this, and does it change at some point?
Yes, it's a real mind game. I remember the first day I was there, or actually got into my company, because first you go to reception and then you go to your company. Well, when I went to my company, you get off cattle trucks while everybody's screaming at you. When we got back up to the barracks, I kept thinking in my head, tomorrow I'm going to fake a heart attack. Tomorrow I'm going to fake a heart attack. Well, then tomorrow came.
Yeah.
By the middle of the day, tomorrow I'm going to fake a heart attack. So finally, 5-6 weeks in there, right. I'm not saying. I'm like, okay, I've got 4 weeks left. I've got this.
Nice. That must be an amazing feeling.
It's incredible. Looking back upon it, I'm like, it's rough. I had one drill sergeant say, your days are going to be extremely long, but your weeks are going to be short. And that's what it was. Days were horribly long, but time just went by so fast because you're constantly moving. All of a sudden, you're graduating.
I would imagine that prepares you for just about any challenge that comes along in your life.
Without a doubt.
And on a personal note, I have to concur with what Jake said. One, about his very cool wife, Shay, and two, about our very patient leader and mentor, Dr. Hank, who teaches us all something with each and every episode. You know, your story, it reminds me of kind of the fundamental truth. Jake and I have a lot of conversations on this topic, that no one really does make it on their own.
No.
You know, and I think if anyone does tell you that they made it on their own, they're either a fool, a liar, or some very dangerous combination of both. We're simply all stronger when we work together as a team.
Well, real quick, that's actually, if nobody remembers, the Army came out with a motto, Army of One. Oh, well, yeah. Very short time after that, they had to switch it because they want you to realize you're a team. So that motto did not work at all.
I got to say, even as a kid, that motto didn't make any sense
no.
to me. This is Greg Aldell with Nicole Grady in the control room and Houston's Jacob Reiner on So What's Your Story on KPFT, 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. Friends, Houston is a creative hub of storytelling, whether you realize it or not. Our storytelling community rivals any in America. I think our program illustrates this best, and as we've grown from a monthly open journal that began in 2007 to a weekly must-have. And thank you to our loyal and dedicated audience, and thank you to everybody that keeps coming on to our Facebook page. We're proud you like what we're doing, but we want to keep hearing from you. The Moth Story Slam is another stunning story time venue. It's held on the second Tuesday of every month at Warehouse Live. And you will usually see most of us associated with the program there, and we will often be telling stories. And there is our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, a great place to dip your toe in the water of storytelling, while at the same time hearing from some of the very best storytellers in our town. Nicole, would you be so good as to tell us, our audience, about our proud sponsor, the one, the only, the Houston Storytellers Guild?
Sure thing, Greg. Well, the damage from the fire at the Printing Museum still lingers on. As a result, the Houston Storytellers Guild is moving to their new digs starting in September. The Guild will meet at the Haven Center at 1805 West Alabama, right here in Montrose, at the same time as before, the last Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. HSG will bypass their August meeting, so be sure to check out their website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the updates.
Thank you, Nicole. Next week, Warren will host Don Benjamin, PhD, author, and professor at Arizona State University, where he teaches biblical and Near Eastern studies. Dr. Benjamin will tell stories of the use of Near East narratives and their relationships to biblical studies, only on So What's Your Story? Jake, my life has taught me in thousands of ways that camaraderie is the key ingredient for a successful life. At least it is in my life. What does camaraderie mean to you, and why is it still important?
I agree with you. I think camaraderie is extremely important, especially for military. To me, camaraderie is being around people of like mind and experiences. Now, I'm not talking about politics, foods, etc., but it helps. I'm talking about a group of men and women that can come together and share the same experience or recall the same experiences. Now, my best friend to this very day is Jay Thompson. Now, at first, Sergeant Thompson and I didn't get along. I may have had to listen to him, but he was not in my platoon, so we never really had any interaction. I was in 2nd platoon, Renegades. He was in 3rd platoon. Now, I was lucky enough one day to have Sergeant Thompson staying in the barracks before we deployed. I went to go talk to him because he decided he was going to rat out one of my battle buddies. But instead, we started talking about his truck and TV, and we got along pretty well. But after that, we didn't really see much of each other until we got to Bagram. While in Bagram, we were put in a transient tent because we were waiting to move to Kabul, where our main mission was. Now, the first thing everybody did was pick what rack they were going to sleep on. And I ended up seeing Sergeant Thompson and asked if anybody was bunking above him. He said no. Now, the decision to bunk with him was more of an easy one compared to some that came later. Now, before we deployed, we were each given a mosquito net, which looked like a personal cocoon with mosquito netting. As I was setting up my bunk and put the mosquito tent up and put everything I wanted inside of it, I saw that there was no privacy. Like the lower bunks, you were able to put curtains kind of around it, but I didn't have that luxury. So Sergeant Thompson gave me his poncho to drape over my mosquito net, and it was like my own little suite. Everybody followed suit. Now, if I can be brash and honest here, when both members of the bunk have their own privacy, there's a new kind of understanding that goes with the friendship. Now, when I came home from Afghanistan, I was seeing a doctor, like I said earlier, that wasn't believing a word I was saying. They had me on medication for anxiety, but it was as needed narcotics. I was looking for something that would prevent anxiety in the first place. Well, this doctor only heard that I wanted new meds and thought I was a pill jumper. We got into a heated argument, and Sergeant Thompson happened to be my escort at the time, and he was trying to talk to me and calm me down. But then the doctor started scolding him. At this time, I had enough. I stood up, said something, and stormed out. As soon as we got into Sergeant Thompson's truck, the company called, and we were told that the acting first sergeant wanted to talk to us now. Well, we knew this was coming, but not as fast as it did. Sergeant Thompson was the first to meet with Top. They closed the door, and all I could think about was the last words I said to the doctor. Luckily, there wasn't any screaming, any high voices, which made me feel a little better. Now, when the door opened, I jumped, and Sergeant Thompson stormed past me. I walked into Top's office, and they asked me what happened with the doctor, and I explained to them what happened. I don't know what Sergeant Thompson said, but the problem seemed to have been squashed. Now, my platoon sergeant, he was a pig of a man, said that Sergeant Thompson and I were now on a do not communicate order. This is where Sergeant Thompson became not only Jay to me, but also Lucy. Jay had a green snake named Crazy Eye. You're right, it's because one of his eyes was smaller than the other. Well, I always hated snakes, but Jay got me so used to Crazy Eye that I didn't care if it was on my neck. Well, Jay fed Crazy Eye live mice, but there was one mice that Crazy Eye wouldn't eat. Well, Jay decided to save it as a pet and call it Lucy. Well, the second I found out about the no-contact order for Jay Thompson, he became Lucy in my phone. And Greg, if you want to check my phone, he's still listed as Lucy.
I don't think I want to check your phone.
Since then, we have become as close as brothers. Not only is he a hunting buddy, a friend, but also a psychologist. No matter what the problem is, I know I can call Jay and he will answer. I know this because we talk daily. But just imagine, if I hadn't bunked with him, I wouldn't have a Lucy in my phone. Hmm. Now, to me, every veteran should have at least one of these relationships. And that's why I love events that Lone Star Veterans Association puts on and Cigar Night for Vets. Here, you can get together with people that have lived the same traumas and dealt with the same bureaucratic nonsense. At these events, you can meet other veterans that share your interests along with experiences. If you're having career issues, there are mentors, employers. If you're having finance issues, there's accountants, bankers. In other words, my fellow veterans, if you're having issues, someone at one of these events can help. These veteran organizations exist to keep veterans talking to each other. And when we talk to each other, I believe we can keep each other alive. Veterans, let's end veteran suicide.
Wow. You've taken us on quite a journey tonight, Jake. You know, the first question that comes to mind is, if a veteran is feeling either tremendous stress or suicidal, are there hotlines or websites?
Yes, there is the Veteran Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. Now, if you don't want to talk to somebody because you're ashamed or you just don't want to talk to anybody, they also have a text number. You can text them at 838-255. So if you feel like you're going to be judged, text them, because then you won't hear a judginess in the voice. You can just read what you need to read.
Well, and let me say, if you are a veteran who is struggling and you are hearing this program, or if you know a veteran who is struggling, I'm going to ask Jake to repeat the information one more time.
The prevention toll-free number is 1-800-273-8255. Or the number to text is 838-255. Please, please, if you feel like you need to, take advantage of these numbers.
Well, and let me also say, even if you're not a veteran, there are hotlines. Everybody feels alone. Everybody, you know, has dark moments, but you don't want to make a permanent solution for a temporary problem, whether it seems like one or not.
And actually, if I could piggyback off that real quick, me and the 360th, my 360th family is dealing with a death too, actually. On August the 4th, one of our soldiers was shot and killed by her husband, who then tried to take his own life and failed. With that, I have to say, I know everybody talks about suicides, and that's a big deal, but also look for other signs. They may not be suicidal, but if they're dealing with a lot of stress, it may go the other way.
Well, and I think an insurmountable amount of stress can probably manifest itself many ways.
Absolutely.
So the key is, if there's someone you care about, if you're having a hard time, deal with it, because it's not going to go away on its own.
No, it won't.
All right. Well, let's clear our heads for a minute. Nicole, if our friends want to reach out and share their stories, will you tell them how they can do that?
Well, if you have program ideas, want to be a guest, or just have comments, drop us a line at drhank@kpft.org, or you can leave us a comment on our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and Dr. Hank, Warren, or Greg will get back with you. And please, don't forget to like us on your way out.
Yeah, you know, our Facebook page has just taken off, and it's exciting to see, and we really do want to hear from you. Or send us an email. You know, we get guests from the audience suggestions. And
pictures of the guests.
We always post pictures of the guest after the show if you want to see what they look like. And I'm sorry, sometimes we're in it too. Now, who was the storyteller in your family, Jake, when you were growing up?
Oh, that was my dad.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I was one of those kids where five stories wasn't enough. But the biggest thing with my dad is I remember, like, on Saturday mornings, it'd be early, he'd still be in bed. I'd come in, I'd get under the covers, he'd wake up, and the first game we'd play is, "Where's Jake?" So I had a choice. I could be a cop, I could be anything, and I have to answer where his son is. So at that moment, I had to start thinking about stories. Okay, what can I do? I'm playing with my dad. I want this to go as long as possible without being absurd.
Nice, nice. That speaks very well for him.
Yeah, he definitely was. My mom was pretty good, too. She read more out of books.
What about in the military? I mean, I envision, you know, that would be a groundswell of storytelling.
Oh, it is. It is. When you're sitting in a platoon and you've got 30 people that are from all over the country, the stories of culture and how they got to where they come, you just learn where people are from and how many people you can actually know and have in common with just by sitting around, because we got an extra 20 minutes before we have to do PT or...
Well, one thing I love about stories is some of the people that tell the best stories don't even realize they're telling a story. You know, they just,
yep.
But that's how we communicate. That's how we share. That's how we get to know each other. And that's what I love about storytelling.
I love storytelling. It's people think that they got to be professional and all. 2-3 minutes of what went on in your day. That's a story.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody has a story, you know, and if you just take a couple of minutes to ask a couple of probing questions, they'll usually be delighted to share it with you because no one ever asked. That's my take on it. Well, friends, we are at the conclusion of another week of So What's Your Story? And Jacob, thank you for all the work you've done for us. Thank you for being on the show with us. And thank you for giving us some important things to think about and some important information to share with those we care about.
Thank you.
Scooter's next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day while you're driving home, relaxing before turning in for the night, or just chilling out. Join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And we'll ease you on into the weekend right. You keep loving a good story, and we'll keep bringing them to you every Thursday at 10 p.m. Remember, everyone does have a story, and everyone has struggles. So whenever the opportunity to do so presents itself, be kind. Help each other out. I'm Greg Audell, reminding you of our show's motto, it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace, my friends.
The Woodlands Children's Museum invites you and your child to celebrate going back to school with one last big summertime bash. The annual Shake Your Summer Sillies Out event takes place Friday, August 19th. Come anytime between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. to join in on the fun. We've got live entertainment, art, music, dance, contests, and more to make it an exciting day, all designed for children under 7. For more details, visit woodlandschildrensmuseum.org.